within us, to be softening our hearts, making us ready to hear not my words, but what it is that you are saying to each of us tonight. So we open our hearts to you in this space and ask you to bring conviction, to bring encouragement. Lord God, do works in us that you want to do tonight, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight I have kind of the privilege and the challenge of wrapping up our series on discipleship. And people are okay if I kind of stand here. I just don't want to be like half a room away from everyone. So if you can't see my face, you know, just imagine I'm smiling. We've been working through a series on discipleship. We've been looking at kind of the five biggies that James, our pastor for discipleship, has put together and said, we believe at Mosaic that these five things characterize healthy disciples. Does anyone remember the letters, the word? Close. Excellent. Close. So C-L-O-S-E. So just a quick recap of we've done the first four. Disciples are people who will commune with Jesus. They have intimacy, depth of relationship. Disciples are people who lead others. Disciples make disciples. Disciples are open. They open themselves to others. We know that Jesus gifts the people around us in this room, right? And he actually wants to work and minister through the person sitting next to you and the person over the other side of the room. And so we want to be people who are open to relationship and receiving from other people. Disciples are sent ones. We live as people on mission in this world. But tonight we're coming to the final letter, the E, explore. Disciples increasingly apply God's truth in their life. And that is what we're opening up tonight. So if you have your Bibles there, I'm going to jump straight into the book of James chapter 1. We're going to start at James chapter 1 and just read verses 22 to 25. This is a passage where James is talking about disciples. He's talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And he says, disciples don't just listen to God's word, they do what it says. Otherwise, they are fooling themselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Disciples don't just hear and then walk away. They continually seek to embrace the word and apply it. This is what the E in close is all about, that we would be people who continue to explore God's word, so that then we can live out of it. Tonight I want to start with a little bit of fun. We're going to play a little bit of a game. Just take one last look at this picture. That's enough. All right, we've got some prizes here. So if you get in quick, I've got one bounty. But the rest is Mars, Snickers, M&M's, Milky Ways. All right? I have some questions. A little quiz. How many images were there? 20. You were here this morning. were you here this morning? All right, okay, well, all right. Would you like, you can't have the bounty, would you like something? Right? All right, here's a Milky Way. All right, next question. What colour was the, if you were here this morning, okay, you have to see, I'll have spares, but just sit this out. What colour was the umbrella? All right, who said that first? Who? There was a blue over... All right, Ariel, what do you want? What? All right, what do you want? You can both have one, just pick. All right, you can have M&Ms. You can have a Milky Way. Oh, sorry. Okay, what number was on there? Okay, we're going to have to do hands. All right. Okay, there was a letter on there. Hands up. All right, I think, Beck, your hand went up first. K? All right, what do you want?
Anything.
Do you like M&Ms? All right, good. All right, I'm terrible at this throwing thing. Who's going to get the prizes? Who knows? All right, how many candles were there on the cake? One. All right, Deb. Yes! Thank you. All right, okay. There were two animals. What were they? Yeah, hands. You can't...
A dog and a crocodile?
No. Close? No.
Dog and a snake.
Sorry?
Dog and a snake.
No. Well, it was a bird. I'm not sure if it was a parrot, but do you like Snickers? Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. How many modes of transport were there?
Four.
Nope. Three. That was just a random guess. I heard your first answer. All right, here you go. Have another one. See if you can catch one. All right, last question. What was the musical instrument? Yes. Okay, there were two hands up the back. There you go. See if you can find them. Does anyone else want a lolly? That's all the questions. All right, here, just... All right, there's a couple over there. Pass them around. Okay. All right, so final question. This one's not for a prize. Who thinks that they can remember all 20 of the images, including what colour they were? Sorry, what? No. Any individual. It's okay, so none of us, right. This is kind of our reality as humans, right? You know, we can see something briefly, hear something, and even if we want a prize, even if we're engaged in the moment, the reality is we will forget. You know, we forget things easily. They actually teach you about this when you study preaching. I remember my lecturer said to me that I should expect that when I step off the stage... within 10 minutes, right, 90% of my audience will have forgotten 95% of what I say. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? Anyone else want this job? Great success rate there. As humans, we forget. So as disciples, if we want to be able to live out of the wisdom and the truths that God gives us, we can't just hear them once. If we want to be disciples who increasingly apply God's truth in our life, we're going to need to embrace a life of exploring God's truths. We need to be committed to lifelong learning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul gives us a picture of being a disciple. He says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize." Now, there are two things in here that are absolute genius. Paul was a genius, right? Athletes don't step up to the line at a major event hoping to win if they have done no training. Like, that's fairly obvious, isn't it? We don't send an Olympic team over who have never, picked up the javelin or whatever before. Right? They train. We don't do this in any other area of life where we want to do well, do we? If we have a passion for playing a musical instrument, I mean, Darcy, do you just get up here on a Sunday night, you don't practice at home or anything like that? Darcy's in the kitchen, so he can't even hear me, but Jude, does Darcy never practice? I mean, did he just one day rock up to church and say, "I want to join the band," and is that how it worked? No, it's hours of practice. If we want to get better at cooking, we'll read or we'll watch. These days we'll watch, Jamie Oliver, I don't even know who the latest cooking guru is. Our work life, our professional skills, we invest thousands and thousands of dollars. Many people go to uni or CIT, or we spend money to study and learn. We hire coaches, we read books. You know, we invest in our growth. So why wouldn't we want to do that when it comes to discipleship that is worth so much more? And this is the second genius point that Paul makes. He says, they do it for a prize that just fades away. But we're working for something eternal. So much greater than chocolate, so much greater than money or fame. I want to invite you guys to just have a moment to pause and reflect on a question. I want you to think about what the prize of following Jesus might look like for you. I want to clarify here, I'm not talking about salvation. Right? Paul is not talking about us needing to earn salvation in this passage. He's talking about us growing as disciples, embracing more of God's goodness, experiencing more of the gospel at work in and through our lives. What could that look like for you? And for your friends? What could it look like to fully embrace and live out of God's truth? The scriptures are full of promises, full of pictures of what the kingdom looks like. And there are so many passages that I could bring tonight to reflect on this. But I thought for us at Mosaic, this is kind of our last series before we head into Christmas. We're heading towards the end of the year, and I thought it might be fitting that we look again at our theme deeper. And I'm going to open up that passage, the passage that we as leaders sat with as we reflected on this theme, even before the year started. So we're reading from Ephesians chapter 14, verse 22, and I want you to notice some of the themes that come through. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. Look at some of the things he prays for. Paul says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." What are some of the themes that stood out for you from Paul's prayer? Maybe unlimited resources, empowerment, inner strength, being made complete, fullness of life, accomplishing spiritual work beyond anything that we could think or imagine, growing deep roots into God's love. Our hope and our prayer for this year as leaders was that as a church we would grow deeper into God's love, that our roots would grow strong and deep. I'm going to share a little personal story. A little over a year ago, I decided that I wanted to redo my front lawn at our house. So I'm sure this will offend someone, but I got some poison and I killed off all of the existing grass. Now, mostly it was bindies and dandelions, a little bit of cooch, some thistles. Right, I killed it all off and then I put down some fresh soil and I sowed some good quality seed. I even put some straw over the top to keep the moisture in, and I set up a sprinkler system and I watered it. And, you know, waited and waited and waited. Seemed like forever, but then these little tiny green shoots started springing up. And then over the following couple of months, the whole area just turned this beautiful green. It was gorgeous. And this is what I was hoping for. I was going, I want to have an amazing lawn. I want a lawn that, you know, just looks uniform and perfect the whole way around. I want people to walk past my house and actually stop and go, that is a nice lawn. That's what I was going for. And it started out really well. It was going well. But, you know, a few months in, it started to turn this funny yellow color. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not watering it enough. So I started watering it more and watering it more, and I'm going, it's not going green. What is going on? So I took to the internet and did some research, and there is a lot of information about growing a lawn on the internet, let me tell you. I had some people saying that if you over-fertilize your lawn, it will turn yellow. If you overfeed it, you basically poison it and it will go yellow. I was like, well, I haven't fertilized in 6 months. I don't think that. Other people said, if you don't fertilize your lawn enough, it will go yellow. And I was like, that's it. That's it. I haven't, you know, it's new. It's trying to grow. I mean, how much do babies eat? So I was going, let's throw some fertilizer at it. Put the fertilizer out. And it didn't get better. It kept, you know, wilting, and it started getting patchy, like bits were dying out. And I have to tell you, I was furious. I was steaming. I was looking at my lawn going, this is, you know, 4 months of investment, my love and care, my water, my good quality seeds. This, it should be amazing. And it wasn't. So a little bit disappointed. All right. Anyway, I wake up one morning, pull the string on the blinds, which I can do from my bed, so good, you look out at my lawn. Wasn't good at the time, but anyway, looked out and I was thinking about all the birds. It seemed like all the birds in the neighborhood wanted to come and have breakfast on my lawn. And I was naive in the early period when my lawn was the best lawn in the street. I was thinking these birds are flying over and going, that is the patch. That's where I'm going. I was thinking they're coming to pull out these big juicy worms. They know that this is a good ecosystem. But as I watched them pecking away at my severely dying lawn, I was like, I may have been mistaken about why they're here. So I went out and, you know, did a little more investigating, and it turns out my front yard was infested with these beetly bug things, and they were eating the roots. My poor lawn was just clinging to life by a thread because it had no roots. Well, one morning this week, I was randomly up to Mark chapter 4, and I came across Jesus telling the story of the parable, the farmer sowing seed. And he says this, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have deep roots, it died. He goes on to say, other seeds fell among thorns and they choked it out, and other seeds fell on fertile soil and they grew up to produce 30, 60, and 100 times as much as was planted. He says this, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And as I read that, my lawn came to my mind. You know, so often I focus on the fact that there are people that will hear the gospel and they will just turn their nose up at it and walk away. But as Jesus is saying these words, and he actually spells it out in the later on in his explanation, he says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. I mean, at this point, Jesus is talking about Christians. He's talking about people who have responded with excitement to who he is. They've received it with joy. There is life springing up. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And as this picture of my lawn just was in my head on Wednesday morning, I couldn't just help think of us as Christians and think that our faith can be like this. You know, grass with shallow roots dies off. Trees with weak roots, they blow over in a storm. When it comes to our faith, our understanding needs to run deep enough that it can live up to what we face and what we experience in life. And I'm not saying that we will have all the answers to all of the questions that we face. But we need to keep investing in our understanding, in our roots, so that our picture of God, our understanding of him is actually bigger than the challenges we face. We need to ask ourselves the question, are we allowing our faith to develop deep roots? Or is it stuck, just struggling along in shallow soil? This is what the E in our discipleship framework is all about. Healthy, growing disciples continually explore and apply God's truth in their lives. They keep nurturing and building a robust understanding of God and how he wants us to navigate life. The opening verses of the book of Psalms gives us this picture. In Psalm 1, we read, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." There are countless other verses and passages in Scripture that paint a similar picture. And it's important that we recognize that it doesn't say the tree won't live through storms. It doesn't say that the tree will not face difficulties. It doesn't say that the environment is always going to be perfect for the tree. And we have to remember that we live in a fallen world. That's our reality. That's where we are. We will experience the hardships. We'll experience the results of the curse of sin. When I ask you tonight, how deep is your root system? How is your understanding of God going? Is it inspiring? Are you inspired at the moment? Or is it withering? I don't know how you answer that question tonight, how that sits with you. For some of us, I know that we're in an exciting season. For others of us, I imagine that we are, you know, feeling flat. The good thing about root systems is they can regrow. I managed to find another variety of poison, and I killed off the bugs, eating away at the roots of my lawn. And this spring, it has started to come back to life. And I have another few weeks to enjoy it. Take it with me. Yeah. I'll give that a go. For many of us, the Christmas season, the end of year that we're about to go into, can be madness. It can be breaking of our rhythms, our routines. And it may challenge how we go about, you know, engaging in God's word and in the things that keep growing our roots. But I encourage you, as we head to the new year, it's also a good time to think about those rhythms and think about what is it that we want to have in place in 2018. What are the practices that will enrich our faith, our understanding, that will help us to grow deep roots? When Jesus began his preaching, he said, "Repent and believe, for the kingdom is here." Right? Repent. It's about turning and changing and reorienting. And his final words to the disciples was that they were to go and make disciples and teach them to obey all that he had commanded, all his instructions. Discipleship isn't about thinking that Jesus is a cool guy or even just knowing that he is the Son of God. Discipleship is actually about embracing all of the teachings and all of the promises that God has for us. And we need to keep exploring. We need to keep engaging with Scripture so that our roots can keep growing, so that we are living out of those promises. And what sits above the surface is supported by deep roots. This isn't in my notes, but as I think about that lawn and I think about us as Christians, I'm drawn to that passage, Peter, that you shared tonight, that Jesus says, people will know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. I'm going to ask you a quick question. How often do you walk past a run-down, you know, ugly patch of grass and weeds and just notice one green blade and go, "Oh, that's amazing. I just want to stop and look at that green blade"? For some of us, yes. My contention is that we're more likely to walk past a beautiful, lush, green lawn and appreciate it. And I actually think this is part of the church. This is what Jesus was building. He isn't calling for there to be one amazing guru that everyone looks at and goes, "Oh, that's what Christianity is like. That's who Jesus is like." But he says, by your love for one another, there has to be relationship there. There has to be community. People will know you're mine. So we wrap up this series tonight. I want to invite you to think across the whole of those five big things. Do you know which area Jesus is calling you, inviting you to grow in the season ahead? Tonight we want to give you a gift, a free gift. I might invite a couple of helpers if there's any. Reese is going to come. Yeah, great. Come and grab. We're going to hand out to you a tool that James, Pastor James, has been working on for quite some time. It's a self-reflection tool. So there's lots of questions in this booklet that we're giving you tonight. Because we could just, you know, do a five-week preaching series on this and go, yep, that's great, we've got an acronym, and then forget about it. You know, it can be like the pictures we put on the screen. It can be like glancing at our face in a mirror and walking away. But actually, we believe that growing as disciples is so valuable. It's so valuable. And we want to help you to reflect on this even further. So each of you gets a copy of this booklet tonight, and there are a number of exercises and sessions to go through. There's even videos. There's like, if you have a QR reader in your phone, there's like these funny barcode things, and you can watch a video from some of the pastors. Or you can go to the website, and in fact, you can get a copy of this, an electronic copy, from the website as well, if you prefer that medium. But what I want to do right now is actually invite you, I'm going to give you a minute, maybe 2 minutes, to pause. Well done, Ingrid. Ingrid put her book down, because this 2 minutes is not actually the space to read this book. Okay, so, you know, I hope you're excited about it. I hope that you will give it some time. Actually, I want you to put the book down for the moment and pull out your diary or your calendar, if you've got one. I don't know how you do that. If you're like some people, you don't even write anything down. You just, it's all in here. But I want to give you a moment now in our service to actually ask the question, when will I make time to look at some of these questions? When will I make the space to work through this? If you want to grow as a disciple and you want to work out, okay, which of these areas, what is Jesus calling me to in the next season? I want to invite you to pencil it in. You might pick a day and take a day and go somewhere that is good for you. If you're a naturalist outside, if you're an ascetic in a room of nothingness, whatever works for you, find that place. Maybe it's, you know, an hour a week, maybe whatever. You think out about how you might take this, because we don't want to just walk away and forget. I can give you a moment. Good intentions are nothing more than good intentions. Good ideas are just good ideas until they're put into action. So I hope that as we finish this series, there's something in there that you can walk away from or walk away with. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to continue to worship tonight. Jesus, I want to thank you that you don't expect us to just grow as disciples on our own. It's actually not your plan for us. But you have given us so much wisdom, insight. Lord God, in these scriptures, you have given us words of life. You have given us instruction, challenge. I want to thank you that you, no matter where we are, you love us just as we are. But, Lord Jesus, I want to ask for us as a community that with you, we will not be content with how we are, we will hope for and dream of stepping into more and more of your promises, more and more of your power, that we would grow in our gifts, that we would become more like you, that we would partner more and more with you in your mission. And I want to ask you, Lord God, that you would help us to hunger for that. You would help us to hunger for the eternal prize, not just for ourselves, but for the people in our lives. The people that don't know your peace yet. The people that don't know that they are held in your hands, that your hands are open, that your love is there for them. Will you make us hunger to not be content with how we are now and what we're walking in now, but to remember that there is more that you want to do. There is more that you want to release for us, but for others as well. So we ask, Lord God, that as we head towards the end of the year, we might place discipleship very high on the list of what we want next year to look like. That growing as your people will be our greatest prize.